Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Monday, it's November 11, 2024. Great to be with you here on EWTN on Veterans Day. And we say a big thank you and a big group hug to all of our veterans. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sacrificing, for your dedication, and for your love of this great country of ours. And if you see someone in uniform today, someone who may be still serving us in the military, thank them as well. My friend Steve Ray, who's a wonderful pilgrimage leader, author, and convert, got me started on this several years ago. He said, whenever I see someone in uniform, whether it be at the airport or maybe in the mall, he says, I always go up to them and thank them for their service. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. And so I've been trying to do the same thing ever since then. Anyhow, happy Veterans Day. It is a federal holiday. We have a lot to talk about today. We are working, obviously, we're live this morning on November 11th, and much to discuss with the election. We're going to take a look more deeply at the Catholic vote. Looking forward to this interview because there was a big, big, big upturn in Catholics voting differently this time around. Logan Church is a political director for Catholic Vote, and she's going to be joining us to discuss, and that will come right after the news. And then we're also going to take a look at what this means, the election means for the pro-life movement. We're going to be chatting with Human Coalition folks, Human Coalition Action. And they're saying that the future is bright for children in the womb and their mothers. So we'll take a look at this, what they mean by it. Chelsea Human is going to be joining us. She's a national legislative advisor with that organization. And she issued a very detailed statement last week after the results of the presidential election. She says, Americans' clear rejection of an extreme abortion agenda is resounding across our nation. After years of abortion propaganda and lies, the election reminds us the American heart embraces truth. Now the hard work of building a hopeful future for children in the womb and their mothers begins. The Harris-Walz ticket's extreme abortion policies are out of touch with Americans. They push taxpayer-funded abortion on demand throughout pregnancy, wanted to throw out protections for babies who survive abortions, and promised to force healthcare workers to perform abortions against their conscientious beliefs. President Trump now has a choice before him. Will his legacy protect vulnerable pregnant women and their children, or will he choose to abandon them in his second term? So we'll talk about that with the folks at this particular organization, the Human Coalition Action, and then wrapping up with, of course, our scripture verse of the week with Gail Buckley Barringer. That comes up at 15 minutes past the hour. Chelsea will join us at 39 minutes past the hour. Let's take a look at the weather on November 11th, Veterans Day. We have a cold front working its way across the eastern part of the country, and that will be with us through Monday with some scattered rain showers and thunderstorms before broad high pressure brings us quiet weather by tomorrow. Now, across the western part of the country, there is a cold front that will shift across the region through tomorrow as well, and also will bring with it heavy coastal rain and some high elevation snowfall to portions of the Northwest. And we're still watching the situation with various wildfires, not only on the West Coast, but some being sparked on the East Coast as well. It is a Monday. It is November 11, Veterans Day, also the feast day of St. Martin de Porres, and appreciate you listening. Let's take a look at the news. It is just about 4 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning, November 11th, 2024. Let's get started. It's brought to you, of course, by our friends at House of Joppa. That website, houseofjoppa.com. Well, we're monitoring this story, but the GOP appears to be edging much closer to reclaiming the House. Republicans lead Democrats 216 to 209 as of late this morning, with 10 races still to be called. A party does need 218 seats to secure the majority. Republicans leading Democrats in 8 of the 10 remaining races, according to The Hill. 7 of the remaining congressional races are in California, with one each in Alaska, Arizona, and Colorado. President-elect Trump will hit the ground running on Inauguration Day. That, according to his transition team spokeswoman, Carolyn Leavitt. She spoke with Fox News Sunday Morning Futures that Trump would immediately address issues of illegal immigration, inflation, and energy policy as well.
We know that on day one, he's going to launch the largest mass deportation operation of illegal immigrants in American history.
The transition team spokeswoman also saying in the interview with Fox News that Trump will sign a large batch of executive orders changing immigration policy and promoting fracking and addressing inflation.
Well, there will be tens of them, I can assure you of that. And there will be a reversal of all of the executive orders that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris signed to reverse the effective policies of the first Trump administration.
And she also said tax cut legislation is also a very high priority for the new team. President-elect Donald Trump announcing yesterday he plans to appoint Thomas Homan as the next border czar. He made the announcement regarding the appointment of the former ICE director on his social media platform, Truth Social. Illegal border crossings surging under the Biden administration with nearly 3 million in fiscal year 2024. That's according to the Homeland Security's website. There have been more than 10.8 million illegal encounters since 2021. Trump vowing during his campaign he would once again take a hardline approach to securing the border. And Senator Bernie Sanders is weighing in, saying Democrats lost on Election Day because they failed to address the concerns of the working class. In an interview on CNN State of the Union, the Vermont Independent said VP Harris should have campaigned harder on easing the economic hardship faced by the ordinary American.
Here is the reality. The working class of this country is angry, and they have a reason to be angry.
Sanders insisting voters were concerned about the price of groceries, housing, and health care. He said President-elect Trump was able to exploit the concerns, according to him, and blame Democrats for things such as income inequality and inflation. And a FEMA employee is out of a job after advising a disaster relief team to skip homes with Trump yard signs. FEMA did not confirm reports the incident happened in Lake Placid, Florida, in the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. But in a statement on Saturday, the administrator called it reprehensible and a clear violation of the agency's core values and principles. And the leader also noted the employee involved was fired and the incident was referred to the Office of Special Counsel. Meanwhile, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has also ordered a full state investigation. Donald Trump offering New York Rep. Elise Stefanik a position in his administration on Sunday. CNN reporting he offered her the job of U.S. ambassador to the U.N. In other news this morning, during the Angelus address in St. Peter's Square yesterday, the Holy Father remembering victims of Indonesia's volcano and is praying for world peace. And as Thaddeus Jones reports from the Vatican, the Holy Father also calling for Christians to be aware of hypocrisy as he reflected on Sunday's gospel.
Speaking at the conclusion of Sunday's Angelus in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis expressed his closeness to the people of Indonesia's Flores Island, affected by the eruption of a volcano that started about a week ago and is continuing as local authorities have widened the emergency zone and evacuations.
Sono vicino alla popolazione dell'isola de Flores.
The Pope offered his prayers for the victims, the displaced, and their families. 10 persons are confirmed dead and dozens injured as emergency evacuations are underway to move residents away from the danger zones. An eruption last January of the Lewatobi Laki-Laki volcano forced the evacuation of some 6,500 residents then in one of the most high-risk seismic zones of the country.
Rinnovo anche il mio ricordo per gli abitanti di Valencia.
The Pope also remembered Valencia, Spain, and surrounding areas of the country hit by massive floods in recent weeks. The Pope asked everyone to pray for them and consider offering a helping hand in some way to assist them in rescue and relief efforts. The extreme flooding affected southern and eastern Spain in late October, and over 200 people have been killed, and emergency services are continuing their search for hundreds still missing.
And a new preacher to the papal household has been named. Father Robert Pasolini, currently serving as a professor of biblical exegesis at the Theological Faculty of Northern Italy in Milan. In his new role as a preacher of the papal household, he will deliver Advent and Lenten sermons to the Pope and the Roman Curia. He takes over from Cardinal Rinero Cantalamessa, who has served as a papal preacher since 1980 under not one, not two, but three popes, and Pope Francis created a cardinal back in 2020. At the age of 90, though, he had become a spiritual guide for millions through his books, lectures, and TV programs. A suspect is behind bars for a mass shooting at Tuskegee University. An 18-year-old was killed and 16 others were hurt in Alabama when gunfire erupted on the campus early yesterday morning. Police arresting a 25-year-old Montgomery, Alabama man on a charge of machine gun possession. The victim, who died reportedly, did not attend the university. And Phil Farrar tells us the ferocious wind-driven mountain fire in Venturi County, California, has now scorched nearly 21,000 acres and is 26% contained.
More than 200 homes have burned to the ground. Nearly 12,000 structures have been threatened. Tura Fire Chief Dustin Gardner says mutual aid came from neighboring counties.
Within 24 hours of the start of this event, we had more than 1,000 firefighters working in Ventura County. And at the peak, we have 3,000 firefighters here in this county helping us suppress this fire.
Fire officials say fierce winds gusting up to 80 miles an hour put firefighters in a defensive posture. At one point, they couldn't fight from the ground because they couldn't see, and wind shear kept firefighting dropping helicopters grounded.
And a memorial is planned today, meanwhile, on the East Coast for a New York State Parks Department employee killed while fighting a wildfire on the border of New York and New Jersey. Danielle Vasquez has been deployed to Sterling Forest in Orange County. Officials say the 18-year-old was killed when a tree fell on him Saturday afternoon. There is a noontime memorial ceremony at a local high school baseball field. He was a Rockland County resident and also a high school graduate from that area. The Texas energy industry excited about what a Trump presidency will bring.
During the first Trump administration, what we saw was our federal government treating oil and gas as an asset, not like a liability.
Todd Staples, heads of Texas Oil and Gas Association, says a Biden administration slapped mandates on producers that, he says, had a trickle-down effect to consumers.
We saw that pipelines were canceled. We saw drilling in Alaska was revoked. We saw LNG permits paused.
On the campaign trail, Trump did vow to boost domestic oil and gas production in Texas. That could include more offshore drilling. Trump is also vowing to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Coming up in the business week, today is Veterans Day, as we mentioned, and both the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ will operate as usual. The bond markets, however, will be closed for the holiday. Tomorrow brings word on the National Federation of Independent Business Optimisms Index. That will be followed by the Consumer Price Index. That's a key measurement of inflation. That happens on Wednesday. The Producer Price Index comes out on Thursday, with retail sales numbers bringing the week to a close on Friday. Scott Carr tells us the FDA is proposing to stop sales of a common ingredient found in most over-the-counter decongestants.
Oral phenylephrine is an ingredient in many common cold and flu products, including Tylenol, Benadryl, Dayquil, and others. FDA officials say an outside panel of experts unanimously voted last year against the effectiveness of the ingredient as a nasal decongestant, adding that no more trials were necessary to prove otherwise. Companies including Procter & Gamble and drug maker GSK were among several accused in lawsuits of deceiving consumers about cold medicines containing orally administered phenylephrine. After a six-month waiting period, the FDA says it'll make a final decision whether to pull medicines containing the ingredient off of shelves.
And Chris Caraggio tells us a toy company, Mattel, well, it's in hot water thanks to the packaging on some of their new dolls.
The company recently began making dolls for the upcoming movie Wicked, and on the back of the box included a link to the movie's website, except instead of wickedmovie.com, the packaging read wicked.com, which leads to an adult film webpage. Mattel released a statement over the weekend apologizing for the error and said they are working to remedy the situation. The line of Wicked movie dolls are being sold at retailers like Target, Kohl's, and Amazon.
For some employees who get paid every other week, November is a three payday month. Matthew Goldberg with Bankrate says this presents an opportunity, and it's just in time for the holidays.
You don't have to spend this all. You can divvy it up. You can put maybe a little in the emergency fund, maybe a little to pay off high interest debt, and then maybe reward yourself spending a little for the holidays.
He says three payday months generally happen twice per year and adds it's important to budget for the typical two payday month throughout the year, so that extra paycheck feels more like a bonus. And finally, in our news segment on a Monday morning, Veterans Day, November 11th, here's a bonus. Hundreds of national parks across the country have free entry today in celebration of Veterans Day.
It will be the final opportunity of this year to explore America's national parks with free admission. Although entrance fees are waived, some parks are expecting big crowds and you may still require advance reservations. While military and their immediate family can get into parks any day, this is a great excuse for any American to go experience all the beauty that nature has to offer. There are over 430 different national parks across the nation.
It is just about 15 minutes past the hour. Hope your Veterans Day is going well so far. It's November 11, 2024. When we come back, we will chat with Logan Church, political director of Catholic Vote. Catholic Vote says the largest religious denomination in the country and their swing away from Harris this year exceeded expectations, but the margin of Catholics shifting their vote to Donald Trump was even larger in some of the most critical swing states that delivered him the win. Catholic Vote, by the way, spending $10 million on advertising and education and a Catholic-to-Catholic canvassing program. They emphasize, they say, the critical swing states and release their analysis of what energized Catholics who traditionally often vote Democratic. We'll take a look with Logan Church. That's coming up next on a Monday morning. We appreciate your listenership here at EWTN. Stay tuned.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's House of Joppa, J-O-P-P-A.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Happy Veterans Day, and thanks again to all the veterans who sacrificed so much for their country. Greatly appreciate your dedication. It is a Monday morning, and we are looking at the numbers, and the numbers continue to come in, especially with the popular vote and the electoral vote, being that the president-elect actually just blew through the seven swing states, picking up Nevada and Arizona over the weekend as well. Logan Church is on the phone with us. She is a political director for our friends at Catholic Vote. Logan, thanks for joining us. Let's talk, first of all, about what the numbers were like. Let's kind of review what happened with the Catholic Vote this time around. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. So first thing I want to point out is President Trump won bigger with Catholics than we've seen in 40 years. So that's huge. And, you know, what does that actually tell us? It tells us that Catholics are actually starting to pay attention to the fact that some of these presidential candidates may not represent their values. And some, in some cases, like with Kamala Harris, you know, just downright despises them. And so we were so excited to see what we got to see over the past week.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the press release, one of the statements that you put out after the vote last week, we know, all of us know, been around for a little while, that many Catholics in particular parts of the country certainly traditionally favor Democrats. Do you think that is just a habit that they've had? What do you think the reasoning is behind that?
Absolutely. I would say it goes back to what some people call yellow dog Democrats or blue dog Democrats. Individuals who are so used to voting Democratic that they have a hard time swapping. And so I think what we're starting to see is in cases like with Kamala Harris, where she just downright, like I said, despised Catholic values, you know, whether it was saying that Knights of Columbus was an extremist organization, saying that there will be no exemptions for Catholics' beliefs when it comes to health care. I think Catholics are starting to wake up and say, okay, well, hold on, maybe, you know, the party of my grandparents is not the party of mine.
Now, you had a really big effort of reaching out to Catholics one-on-one. Tell us about that.
Yes, absolutely. So we had individuals in our grassroots states, all seven of the swing states. We had a team there on the ground that was getting together Catholics, whether it was on the parish level, in people's homes. We were reaching out with postcards, phone calls, text messages, and everything in between. So we had quite the robust outreach. We reached out to 2 million Catholics across the United States, and it was quite the time.
What were they saying to you when you reached out to them? What was their response?
Most of the time, it was just gratitude. We were reaching out to Catholics who needed that extra push to get out to the polls. And so, at the end of the day, I think most of the Catholics were just grateful to hear from us.
We're talking with Logan Church, who's a political director for Catholic Vote, taking a look at the Catholic Vote this time around. In follow-up, in terms of doing some research, I'm sure you've seen these stories too, Logan, but there are several key moments that Catholic commentators and writers are saying made a difference in terms of the Catholic vote. One of the biggies, I think, was when she talked about shortly before the election that there would be no religious exemptions.
Yes.
For those who had an objection to performing an abortion or prescribing deadly birth control pills or anything that was against their faith. And she said, nope, no religious exemptions. What's your take on that?
I think you're absolutely right on that. I think at the end of the day, whether or not somebody, how they feel individually, the point is a lot of voters just don't want to see it forced on other people. And that's exactly what that does.
And what about the transgender issue? That was another point the commentators made.
I would agree on that as well. Well, I think as we see in polling, 85% of people disagree with that. And so when it gets down to an issue like that, you just kind of have to ask yourself, what were they looking at that made them think that those were talking points that were going to be beneficial?
Do you think they just took Catholics for granted this time around? I mean, they've taken them for granted in the past, but do you think that happened again?
I think that not only did they take us for granted, they didn't recognize us as a voting bloc.
Wow,
so,
really?
So, yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, what it gets down to is Kamala Harris and campaign just recognized, they thought that Catholics just, they thought that Catholics weren't going to vote together like they had in the past. Mm. And they don't see us as a voting bloc, but they do evangelicals.
What difference did the Al Smith dinner make? Do you think it made an impression on Catholics, the fact that she didn't go?
Oh, I'm sorry, you cut out there.
I was saying, do you think that the Al Smith dinner also played a part?
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, as we know, the Al Smith dinner is huge for Catholics. And I think that ultimately her decision to not only come to that, but to then send in that video that was just downright, I mean, to most Catholics seen as offensive. I think that that's incredibly concerning. And at the end of the day, I think Catholics saw that for exactly what it was, which was she didn't care. She never cared. Mm-hmm. She downright, I mean, at the end of the day, she just said to us, your vote doesn't matter to me. And we showed up on election day and said it right back.
My understanding is, though, that she had a very strong disagreement after the fact with one of her staff members who told her that she shouldn't go because she would be basically dissing the LGBTQ community and the pro-abortion community, and that she regretted it after the fact. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what we've seen on a couple of different websites. Okay, last but not least, we have about 2 minutes left. Now that we've had some Catholics really changing and shifting to a more conservative vote away from the Democratic Party, where do you see this going in the future? And it's super important that we continue to talk to Catholics across the board and help them understand and look at this not through a party perspective, but a perspective of the lenses of Scripture and teachings of the Catholic Church, as we always say here at Catholic Radio. What are your thoughts on going forward, Logan?
Well, I think at the end of the day, what we always say at Catholic Vote is we're Catholic first, and that's what guides our vote. And so when it comes down to issues like this, it has nothing to do with Republican versus Democrat Party. It comes down to values. And at the end of the day, we're looking for candidates that are going to support our values. And I think what we're going to see with groups like MSNBC, Fox News, all reporting that the Catholic vote was so influential in this election, we're going to start seeing candidates wake up and say, okay, maybe we should be paying attention to the Catholic vote. Maybe we shouldn't be insulting them publicly or ignoring them or dissing them. And I think that we're going to start seeing more candidates, for lack of a better word, pander to the Catholic vote and hopefully vote that way. And so that's what Catholics are going to see come from this as we band together. That's how you see results. And so I'm actually excited to see candidates to reach out to across the aisle, whether they're Catholic or not, and start to recognize that the Catholic vote does matter.
And are you have any? Do you have any efforts in the near future, kind of to follow up on what these politicians will be doing in the future? Do you think, Logan? What's your next
Absolutely.
Project?
So obviously, we have the Catholic Accountability Project, where we're keeping our pulse, keeping our finger on the pulse of what's actually happening in D.C. and on the state level with these candidates, with these politicians. Are they voting to uphold Catholic values, especially the ones who are actively or claim to be Catholic? And so that's one thing. The other thing is we continue working with, whether it's through lobbying or through just outreach, making sure that candidates know that we're here and accessible to answer any questions they have.
Logan, thanks, and congratulations on your outreach to Catholics. It made a huge difference. Logan Church with Catholic Vote. Check out their website, tons of info, catholicvote.org. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
What does Oratio Dominica mean? It refers to a prayer that is, according to the Catholic Catechism, truly unique. It is of the Lord. As the only Son of God the Father, Jesus, in speaking the words His Father gave Him, is the master of our prayer. In addition, as Word incarnate, Jesus, in His human heart, knows the needs of His human brothers and sisters. In revealing them to us, He is also the model of our prayer. Jesus, however, does not merely give us a formula to repeat mechanically. Jesus not only gives the words of the Our Father, He gives us the Spirit by whom the words become in us spirit and life. The prayer to Our Father is inserted into the mysterious mission of the Son and the Spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's looking back at you at age 22? What do you hope to say about that child at age 22? If you're content to say, well, the way kids are turning out nowadays, counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest children he has. Or would you rather say he's 1 in 100? Morals, compassion, seeks God. Are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? You can't parent like the bulk of parents anymore. You will supervise far higher. You will screen out toxic media sewage at a rate unlike all of your friends, perhaps your family. No guarantees as to what will be looking back at you at age 22. But you want to be able to say, I think he's 1 in 100, then you be a 1 in 100 parent.
Hope we're having a great day today. It's Veterans Day. It's a federal holiday, November 11, 2024. I wanted to take a minute to kind of flesh out what I was talking about with Matt Swaim this morning on the Sunrise Morning Show. He and I were both discussing. A lot of conservative causes, maybe to gloat or maybe to want to get into a tete-a-tete or arguments with people online. And I really don't think that is productive. As a matter of fact, I stopped engaging on Facebook a while ago because I just felt it to be very, very disruptive and stealing my peace and also causing lots of us to go down rabbit holes. So I just, something to think about and pray about. Not that you can't have a discussion with someone, but to make sure that it doesn't get ugly, because what we're seeing out there now from some people on the left, not all, but a lot of people, that it's getting really ugly. And what is very frustrating to me is how those on the left are always accusing us of not being inclusive, of not promoting unity, of causing all kinds of disunity. They're actually saying so many horrible things about not wanting to have anything to do, even with people in their own family who voted differently than they did. Now, here's the thing about that. We have the holidays coming up, and I'm sure Father Mitch will weigh in on this later in the week in our cultural connections with Father Mitch Pacha. We have the holidays coming up. Thanksgiving right around the corner, then Christmas, New Year's, lots of things going on, lots of parties, lots of get-togethers, all wonderful, sometimes, and sometimes it could be just difficult, period, if you don't get along with all your relatives and you have to kind of pray through it and work through it. But to sit there and to encourage people in your audience, if you have a platform, to stay away from your relatives during the holidays simply because they voted against what you believe by voting for the opposite candidate, I'm sorry, that's not about unity. That's just being a sore loser and not very mature. It is one thing. It's one thing to have to be in a situation if there is, let's say, a verbally abusive relative who always causes disruption and attacks people. That's not what we're talking about here. That's wrong. And God doesn't expect you to sit there and take that kind of treatment, because if you do, then you're allowing that other person to sin as well, because that abusive behavior is not acceptable and it's wrong. But this is not what, for example, Joy Reid of MSNBC was talking about. She was discussing this with a Yale psychiatrist, an Ivy League educated professional in psychiatry, encouraging people to stay away from their relatives. Take a listen.
If you then meet somebody and you know they voted for the people who called you trash, or if you're Puerto Rican, you know, and you know someone voted that way, do you recommend, just from a psychological standpoint, being around them? We got the holidays coming up.
So I love that you asked this question, because, you know, there is a push, I think just a societal norm, that if somebody is your family, that they are entitled to your time. And I think the answer is absolutely not. So if you are going to a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, like what you said, against your livelihood, and it's completely fine to not be around those people and to tell them why, you know, to say, I have a problem with the way that you voted because it went against my very livelihood, and I'm not going to be around you this holiday. I need to take some space for me.
And I wonder what they would say if conservatives said, I'm not going to be around you. I'm going to stay away from you. I insist on others doing the same thing, staying away from their relatives because they voted differently and against a lot of things in which I believe strongly. Oh, how do you even function in the world? Do you mean to tell me you don't have people in the workplace that vote differently or feel very strongly, for example, about pro-abortion, where it's a big deal for them? Or talk about voting against your livelihood in terms of the economy and what people have been going through. I mean, seriously? But where are we in the world today if we can't be among our loved ones simply because, and okay, not simply, I should take that word out there, because it's not a simple thing. Voting is extremely important. But what I'm saying is, you're going to stay away from your family because you have people in your family that supported a candidate that you can't stand and that represents things that are painful to you? What about the abortion issue for us? What about men playing in women's sports? What about doctors being forced to do abortions and people being forced to pay for it? What about all of these extreme abortion and pro-death things? Look, we can disagree. We don't have to disagree, and we also don't have to talk about these things during the holidays. You listen to Dr. Greg and Lisa or Dr. Ray Guarendi, doesn't mean that we can't have a discussion and say, hey guys, let's talk about this after Thanksgiving or outside of the Christmas and Thanksgiving dinner. Because 9 times out of 10, it always gets heated and then you ruin the holidays. We should agree to disagree and have a peaceful event, because it really doesn't go anywhere, especially if there's alcohol involved, somebody's had a few glasses of wine or something or a few beers, you know it's not going to be pretty. But really, you're going to stay away from each other? And again, we're not talking about abusive behavior. If you know that there's an aunt or an uncle or a brother who does nothing but lob insults and just tries to rile you, that can be problematic. And in that case, you might consider, well, you know, I'm going to go, but I'm only going to go for a short time, or maybe I can't go at all because it's just too painful for me. That's completely different. But if you heard the tone of that exchange between this Yale psychiatrist and this MSNBC host, it was just because of the way you voted. And so again, how are you going to survive in this world? Are you going to barricade yourself? Are you going to lock yourself indoors? Because certainly wherever you go, whether it's in church, whether it's at the store, at the office, You're going to encounter people that feel differently and voted differently and feel very strongly as to why they did that. How is that even acceptable? To cause division in your family because you can't handle a big loss. How about this? You don't want to talk about it? Fine. And you need some time to say, I don't want to discuss it? And maybe wait till after the new year, if ever. Maybe you don't even have to discuss it with your relatives. But to cause disunity in the family, I'm sorry. To me, that doesn't, I think it's wrong. It's painful enough. And as I said this morning, I speak from personal experience. I have an older sister who hasn't spoken to me in years. And according to my nephew, whom I'm very close with, her son, it's because of my beliefs, primarily. There's other reasons, I guess, going back to childhood, which she's never bothered to tell me. And I pray for her. And my spiritual director said years ago, he said, send her Christmas cards, send her Easter cards, call her. And I did all that. Easter cards came back, returned to sender. Christmas cards came back repeatedly. My spiritual director said, you know what? All you can do now is just pray for her. Leave the door open. And that's what I did. Through my nieces and nephews, I said, tell your mom. I don't know what I did. I'd love to talk to her. She doesn't want to talk to me. That's fine. But the door is always open. That's all we can do. But to sit there and to promote disunity because you are so upset that you lost the election, to me, that is just so immature. And it's hypocritical to sit there and call yourself the party of unity, the party of inclusion, and then stomp your feet and take your baseball bat and your mitt and go home because you didn't get your way in this election. And you're going to isolate yourself from your family because of it. Put on your big boy pants and your big girl pants. Life has disappointments, ups and downs. You learn from it, you do some self-reflection, and then you get back in the game. And you don't disrupt family life because you didn't get your way. We'll be right back.
'60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. In this commandment, God seeks to protect us from false claimants to our worship and obedience. And there's a great sad history of people who have trusted in gods other than him or things other than him and the ruin that it has caused. So God is trying to protect us and call us to an absolute trust and obedience of him. He asks us to trust him above all things and above all other people or so-called gods. We have to also avoid things like consulting horoscopes, palm reading, clairvoyance, recourse to mediums, any desire to try to control things apart from God. God simply says, trust me, I'm the Lord your God. The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread, meaning me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, oh yeah, I know that passage? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Minutes to the top of the hour. Hope you're having a great Monday, November 11th, Veterans Day. Continuing our conversation on the election, so much to discuss, especially where the pro-life issues are concerned, because we are your pro-life radio and TV network. Chelsea Yeoman is with us. She's a National Legislative Advisor for Human Coalition. Thank you for joining us. And let's talk a little bit. First of all, okay, so we see the results, and some are still coming in, waiting to see what the House is doing. But Donald Trump blew through all the swing states. And folks were very concerned about the economy, and of course, Catholics and other Christians concerned about the life issues. And even though the situation is far from perfect under a Trump administration come January, the second time around, it'll at least be better than it would be under Harris. So what are you looking forward to, Chelsea, in terms of what we're seeing right now for the pro-life future? And good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I think that we are really hopeful at Human Coalition for an administration change for several reasons. We know in the year after Roe was overturned that abortions were the highest that they've been in 12 years. 1.2 million women received abortions and 1.2 million children were aborted. And those numbers are increasing thanks to the abortion drugs, which the FDA under the Biden administration, you know, worked to perpetuate across all 50 states, regardless of their legal landscape. So we're really hopeful that the next administration will be looking towards doing two things. One, protecting women, helping them get life-saving resources that they need in their moment of need. But two, also potentially looking to start protecting children in a stronger way than certainly the Biden administration did.
In terms of the biggest issues right now for pro-lifers, so what are we looking at in terms of abortion limits and also transgender issues, which also falls under the life issues? What are your thoughts, Chelsea?
Yes, it's a full frontal assault. You know, we know over the last few years against children in the womb, the human person, human dignity. And I think we have a lot of work to do, number one, on the cultural front in our own homes. It starts with our own homes, the discussions around the dinner table, in our Bible studies and communities and serving those around us, frankly, our neighbors, who often women find themselves pregnant and don't know where to turn or how to get assistance, and so choose abortion in their view because of their circumstances. At Human Coalition, we have 76% of women we serve say they would rather parent if their circumstances were different. So that's where we start. You know, that's where our focus and priority is going to be. But secondarily, on the political front, we certainly have work to do in educating. We know that female voters did vote for President Trump, especially young voters in historic margins. We know that they were undeterred by the left's hard, extreme abortionism over the last year, being inundated with those narratives. They were rejected. The left was rejected on that front. But because the ballot initiatives, we lost seven of those, 1-3. We know that our work is ahead of us on the cultural front.
In terms of other issues that we're facing, and it's interesting because the Catholic vote went more toward Trump. We were just talking about that with Catholic vote there on just a few minutes ago. I'm thinking that Catholics now are going to be a new group, hopefully, to be reckoned with. I mean, are you recognizing that in terms of what you're seeing out there with the life issues and candidates?
Yes, and I think it's important because at the end of the day, what we're talking about is the very rights of humanity, which begin at conception. And, you know, the evangelical voting bloc is about 30% of all voters, and they can be single-issue voters on this. And we're really hopeful that this is something we can all unite around as believers. We are made in the image of God, created with a purpose, with dignity, and that's worth defending. The vulnerable humans in the womb should be our number one issue to vote with. I think we have some work to do on that front, but I think it's something that, you know, truth and science and medicine is on our side, and we can stand really firmly on that ground.
Now, I'm wondering your response to some of these really dramatic claims that under a Trump administration, women's so-called, you know, reproductive rights, obviously we're not for that because that just means abortion and birth control. But what I'm saying is there are these very, very dramatic claims out there. Women are going to die on the streets and under a Trump administration, and there's going to be a national abortion ban. And yet the truth of the matter is he said he would not push for a national abortion ban. If it passed it, he would veto it. He's for limits at the states. What other areas do you think the left has basically gone off the rails in terms of what they're claiming about the upcoming administration?
I think nearly every article I've seen about abortion has been inundated with fear-mongering. Every single article, not a lot of fact, not a lot of nuance or analysis of the law. One great example would be that every single woman in every single state is allowed to receive life saving medical care, and have been, by the way, under Supreme Court precedents for 50 years. So some of those lies are things we are seeing seep in. And, you know, for us, the difficulty there is that women believe those lies, and women,
you know, need to seek help sooner. And also we hope reach out to pregnancy resource centers and know that there's assistance available to them. We would like to see the next administration do things like defund Planned Parenthood, who receives $700 million from the federal government, even after we've got multiple Medicaid fraud cases against them now out of Texas and Louisiana. We've got, you know, the alleged fetal tissue cell cases still out there. So we'd like to see them defunded, and maybe a really unifying issue we hope President Trump would pay attention to is the fact that 80% of all voters support the work of pregnancy resource centers to help women. That could certainly be something he turns his attention to at the federal level, is just serving women and helping that infrastructure be strengthened.
Yeah, that would be really, really amazing to see the focus on pregnancy resource centers. I mean, I know that we've known for forever the great work that they do, but to really have a national focus on that, because the media especially has not paid attention to the pregnancy resource centers. As a matter of fact, they've lied about the pregnancy resource centers and the great work that they do as well.
They do. And the truth is there's, you know, 2,700 pregnancy resource centers across our entire country doing good work for women, helping them get access to employment, helping them with their resume building and budgeting and saving, affordable housing, affordable child care, with public and private resources. You know, truly neighbors being neighbors is the community building we're talking about, but it would certainly go a long way if, you know, President Trump and his new administration wanted to turn an eye towards protecting these women. What would it look like to create an environment where abortion felt like a last resort to her?
Yeah, yeah. What a concept, right? Well, what can we do, Chelsea? And by the way, we're talking with Chelsea Human, National Legislative Advisor for the Human Coalition Action. What can we do as pro-lifers, as concerned pro-lifers, to let the president-elect know that we want really a lot of emphasis on pregnancy resource centers? We're still very concerned about abortion, while there'll be fewer abortions in terms of his policies versus under a Harris campaign. There's still, as you said, a lot of work to be done. It's hardly perfect. What can we do to get our concerns out there, do you think?
I love that question. The number one thing is to make sure your elected officials hear from you. I hear it all the time as I lobby that they only hear from feminists and the pro-abortion crowd. So call your state senator, call your state representative, your federal ones, and of course, you know, get those emails out. But then the other thing you can do is look how to engage with your church and your community on this issue. Starting a Bible study at your church where we're discipling on the human dignity of that God has created in each one of us, but also serving with the Pregnancy Resource Center. You can go to humancoalition.org and learn more about our work, of course.
Chelsea, thank you so much for all your work. Give us your website if people want more information.
Yes, it's humancoalition.org, and we work to serve women seeking abortion across the country.
Thank you for all that you do, and look forward to keeping in touch with you as we get closer to the inauguration and the new administration. We'll be right back on a Monday morning with our Scripture Verse of the Week. Gail Buckley will be with us. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com. 60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Take a look at our website, EWTN.com, and the old programs. I've so far gone through the encyclicals on Jesus, which is Redemptor Hominis, on God the Father, Divus et Misericordia, and on the Holy Spirit, Dominum et Vivificantem. Also the one on the Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae, and the one on Redemptoris Mater, Mother of the Redeemer. So I've gone through five of those, and you can get those off of our website. Again, the website is www.ewtn.com. And then when you go to libraries, what you can do is go to the audio library, and the audio library will have the old programs. They're all there, and you can just access them that way. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Welcome back. Wrapping up a Monday morning on this Veterans Day. It is just about 50 minutes past the hour, so we're having a hard time getting through on Gail Buckley's phone. But that said, even though she can't be with us this morning because of technical issues, it's live radio, things happen. I think her verse today is very apropos for what many of us are going through and feeling like. This is 1 John 3:13. Do not be surprised. Oh, wait, maybe this is her, but I'll read the verse anyway. 1 John 3:13, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Oh, Gail, I'm so glad we have you, because I thought we didn't have you because of phone issues, but I just read the verse and I was saying to our listeners,
apropos for right now.
That's okay. Sure. All right. Okay. So tell us about the verse and why you chose it.
Okay. Well, I chose it because of what's going on now. But, you know, I used to think that it was an exaggeration, you know, that the world would hate us, you know, that just seemed like an exaggeration. But, you know, when I was growing up, it seemed that you rarely heard of anyone being an atheist. You would know some people that didn't maybe attend church, but, you know, those people would usually say, well, I just don't go to church, or they might say, you know, they could find God in nature and the trees and the beauty of the earth and all that. But we've seen in recent, you know, times, you know, well, we know about, first of all, the anti-Semitism that's going on. And, of course, this is also going on towards Christians. And it's really sad. But when Jesus did say, you know, he said this would happen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, he said, if they persecute me, they will persecute you. You know, speaking about his followers, which, you know, are all Christians. And in prior verses, you know, he speaks about, you know, those that faithfully follow him will be hated by the world. You know, when he speaks of the world, he means, you know, worldly people, or in other words, those who are not Christians, or they are into materialistic things and they don't believe in an afterlife, heaven or hell, and so they don't have any fear of going to hell because they don't believe in it. And worldly things, you know, where people are just thinking of themselves and not God. You know, St. Teresa said, St. Teresa of Avila, you know, she's my patron saint, and I know you really love her too.
Yep, I was named after her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. And I took her name as my confirmation name. But she said, let nothing perturb you, nothing frighten you, all things pass. And that is so true. You know, if you think about everything we've ever worried about is in the past, and we look back and we think, why did I stress so much about that, you know? It doesn't help at all to worry, and it's actually a sin. You know, if you read Matthew 6, 24 through 36, you realize that it's really sinful because it's a lack of faith. But I just want to mention one other thing, Teresa, that, you know, it's obvious by the behavior of so many people after this recent election that, sadly, there are so many people that do not know our Savior. There is so much anger and so much hate. You know, I was personally attacked on Facebook by someone I didn't even know who came on Facebook and just spewed these horrible words and hate towards me, all because all I said was, I'm not going to post anything about the election because I don't want to offend anybody or hurt anyone, and because I love everyone. And somehow that angered this person who came on and told me what a horrible person I was and all this. Mm-hmm. It's just horrible. And I think about, you know, this Thanksgiving. So many of us are going to be come together with family members that don't think the same way we do, or, you know, don't agree with us. And it's going to be very awkward. I know it's going to be that way for me because I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with my son and daughter-in-law who are Democrats, and they are having a meltdown over the election, and it's going to be awkward. But you know, what we need to do is to listen to the Bible. It says, fear not, you know, and we should not fear. And this Thanksgiving, you know, I think we should just love everyone, leave out politics. And one of my sons and daughter-in-law said, you know, they're upset about this. But again, what St. Teresa said is so true. Don't let nothing perturb you. All things pass. And this will pass. It shall pass, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because I did a segment this morning on that about Joy Reid from MSNBC telling people to stay away from their families, and she had a psychiatrist on to back her up. Don't go see your family if they voted differently than you did. Imagine that. Isn't that horrible?
Wow.
How horrible.
That's horrible. It's really bad, and I just can't imagine. I don't know. It's sad, and it's scary, but as the Bible tells us, fear not. Lean on God. Prayer is the answer, really prayer. That's all we can do is pray and hope that our children and our uncles and aunts and all those people that had voted differently and are having a meltdown will come around to see that this is going to be a better world, a better time, I hope.
At the end of the day. That's all we can do. Pray for them and keep the door open. As I said, Gail, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And, of course, appreciate your great work at Catholic Scripture Study International. And, of course, it's a great thing in which to get involved and learn more about our faith, and especially to always look at everything, as we say and Al used to say, through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.